Bonnie Wheeler coming in with Love Fire. Culture we play. Don't want no vulture, don't want you get bugger, seeing? Greetings, greetings, greetings again, dear sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information, soldier of love, soldier of love. We are in need of loving one another, human family. Cease the hatred, cease the enmity and animosity and jealousy and destruction of each other at the behest of the wicked ruling class and families. Now let me try to get through some of these scriptures. My brain is so full of that which I do understand of the African narrative of creation, scientific narrative of creation. Whether we are good or evil, we only have this one universe to use. But those that are wicked and evil misuse the universe. So when you see things like don't bow to the sun, don't make images of yourself, don't use soothsaying, all of these powers were with the African Hebrews. All of these powers were with the Africans. But we use these powers, the interpretation of dreams, numerology, soothsaying, augury. We use divination. We use these powers for righteousness. Joseph was a diviner. Laban was a diviner. Joseph interpreted dreams. The zodiac was in the floor of the African Hebrew temple. We tied our lives to the scientific movement of the sun, moon, stars, planets in the zodiac cycle. These are not wicked practices in and of themselves, but the wicked ruling class and families take the same practices and misuse them, abuse them, misappropriate them. They take the same scientific knowledge of the ancient Africans. the same scientific philosophical constructs that we are going over, the concepts of peace and tranquility. They want us to be peaceful and tranquil as it concerns not saying anything when they kill and destroy the human family. They use chaos and disorder. See, Al-Qaeda is about creating chaos and disorder so that they may bring out of their own created chaos and disorder, manufacture a peace suitable for them, meaning that we say nothing and be peaceful and tranquil as they kill and destroy us, the members of the human family. No, that's a misuse of Nun, Ptah, and Atum. We use Nun, Ptah, and Atum for that which the Almighty meant for the use of Nun, Ptah, and Atum. So let's go to these scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul talking. Paul wants to build the people. Organize the people. Create a community of people, the human family, to overcome all barriers, to overcome the Roman Empire, overcome the Roman Caesar, overcome the manipulation of the Roman Senate, and today the modern day Rome, modern day Roman Senate, House of Rothschild, Oppenheimer's, Vatican City, London, Washington, D.C., these technocrats being used by the wicked ruling class and families as a modern-day Caesar, modern-day Rome, modern-day Roman Senate, creating laws to divide and destroy the human family. Paul talking in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of condemnation to you, commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Have we not done the work, Paul is saying? Have we not proved ourselves to you? Verse 2, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. You are the very writing, poor working class masses. The Almighty has written the story of the universe through you as the word and as the neutron. And the Quran says, the words of the Almighty, if they, oh my God, I've never seen this before. Watch this. Oh Lord, I love you. I praise your righteous name, Yahuwah. The Quran says, and I'm looking at this as the teaching of this African Atum Ptah Nun again. The Quran says, if the words of the Almighty were as ink, and that ink, as I'm paraphrasing, the waters and the trees were as pens, the words of the Almighty could never be exhausted. Oh, don't you see that the waters of Nun, the ink is again the waters of Nun, the pen, writing, the word of the Almighty, the waters of Nun, the black ink, the pen, the trees, the pen, the writing. You and I are that writing. You and I are that black ink, waters of Nun. You and I are that word of the Almighty. You and I are that neutron, read of all men, known of all men. We were known of each other in the waters of Nun. We were known of each other, peaceful, tranquil, at one, having relationship with each other and with the Almighty, receiving instruction from the Almighty in the waters of Nun. Verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God,
not on tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. Oh my God, don't you see? Can't you see the African teaching right there? The epistle not written with ink, declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, the word epistle, let's see, is defined as a letter. And the epistle is a letter, and this is a feminine noun. So we are the letter, the writing of Christ. We are that very neutron, that very word of the Almighty. It says written not with ink. Now that ink is defined. Ooh, melon? Wait a minute, sisters and brothers. Let's hear this word ink in the African Hebrew language.
Strong's G318.
Excuse me, not African Hebrew, but European Greek, as this is the New Testament, but teaching from the African knowledge.
Melon. Melon.
Watch it, sisters.
Thayer's lexicon, related entry. Melos. Melos.
Let's play that again. Melon.
Strong's G3188. Melon. Melon. Thayer's lexicon, related entry. Melos. Melos.
So, melon. 3188, Greek side, Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary. Ink. Is this melon, melanin, melanin? The root is the melas that you heard. 3189, which means black, black ink. So are we are, I'm not asking the question. I'm telling us, we are talking about melanin, 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 the melanin of the universe. So Paul says that we are the letter, the writing of Christ, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy heart. So the ink is the waters of noon. But, and the ink as the black ink, waters of noon, melanin, you don't stop there, you go to the Spirit. So we're back to E equals MC squared. He says, not with tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart. Now, let me try to see again. Melon was neutral, and the black is an adjective. The tables of the heart. Heart is feminine, if I remember correctly. The word heart, cardia, which is where we get cardiac, having to do with the heart, is a feminine noun, and the heart is the seat of life in the structure, circulating the blood, and also represents the center of physical and spiritual life. So let's break this down, sisters and brothers. We are talking about the three phases. The ink, the melanin, the ink, the waters of noon, the black ink, that's the first phase. The tables of stone, that is the second phase of Ptah. We could stop there and use that. And this stone is masculine. The stone, the small stones, the building stones, even Christ as the stone. But that's Ptah. But we can't stop there. Paul says this is the writing of Christ. How is Christ writing? How is Atum writing? writing by the Spirit, sisters and brothers, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the living Theos. And that word Theos is God, Goddess, and that word Theos is also teaching us of Yahuwah as Father and Mother, living, living. Yahuwah is living. Yahuwah is existing. Numbers chapter 11, Moses refers to Yahuwah, the Lord Almighty, L-O-R-D, all capitals, Jehovah, Yahuwah, as begetting and conceiving, living. No life without Father begetting and Mother conceiving, living, existing, existing, causing the existence of all that has ever existed, ever will exist, and all that exists as we exist. The living Yahuwah, the living Theos, also having to do with the Elohim, the gods and the goddesses, children of the Most High, every facet of the universe, parcel, faction of the universe, part of the universe, you and I are also included. We all are the living Elohim, children of the living Yahuwah. The Spirit, the word Spirit is pneuma, neutered in the Greek, transgendered in the Latin. The word is Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit, and we know that the Holy Spirit in the African Hebrew language is feminine. She's our mother. Now, what's her spirit? Her spirit is life. Her spirit is energy. Her spirit is vital force. Her spirit has to do with reason, has to do with being rational, has to do with cognition, remembering, thinking, and reasoning. Her spirit has to do with all that has to do with vitality, force, and life. That's her spirit. So, Nun, the black ink, the material, mass, and matter. Ptah, the earth mound, the mind. Christ is doing the writing. But what is the spirit of material, mass, and matter? What is the energy? E equals mc squared. Mc squared, m, material, mass, matter. C squared is light. Speed of light squared. 186,281. Is it 186,284 miles per second? I'm going to have to check that. Haven't quoted that in a while. Square that and you get 186,284 miles per half a second. Christ is the light. Christ is the light of the world. Christ is hydrogen, solar, light, energy of the world. Christ is the writing. Christ is doing the writing. You and I are the word, the neutron. You and I are the word of the Almighty, the neutron, causing the energy. And that energy, we must pick up on that energy to find the disposition. E equals mc squared. Energy is usually positive or good spiritual force that lives within all animals and creatures and human beings and the whole of the universe. So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at Nun as the black ink. We're looking at Ptah as the stone. And we're looking at crystals doing the writing, writing with the spirit energy of the living Yahuwah. Verse 4. Oh my God. And this is writing in our hearts. Do you have a heart for the human family? Verse 4. And such trust we, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Christ, Atum, the writer of the word neutron, of the Almighty, you and I as the word neutron. Through Christ, to Godward, to Theos, to the understanding of the whole construct of the universe as Yahuwah, Father and Mother, and Elohim as every facet of the universe, as the child of Yahuwah, the mind and imagination and thinking and planning of Yahuwah. These fixtures represent judging and the judicial system of the universe. As the judge of our actions, are our actions commensurate with the universe as a child of Yahuwah? Verses 6 and 7. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. We're talking about the mind of Ptah, giving analysis of the chaos and disorder. Now, we can't stop there. See, we analyze all the death going on, and we condemn all the death and the killing going on, but we can't stop there. We must move to the spirit. We must move to the energy. We must move to use the energy to give birth to life. The energy spirit. Spirit is energy. Energy is spirit. Verse 8. How shall the ministration of the spirit be rather glorious? See, the glory is not in the analysis. The glory is in the work that is being done by the spirit energy of the universe, the spirit energy of Mother Holy Spirit, giving us the power to work this wonderful, glorious work that is the Christ work, the Atum work, the work that we must get up and go about in the reconciliation of the human family. Verse 9, for the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. So the Old Testament, representing the work of Moses, the Old Testament represents the mind of Ptah. The Old Testament gives analysis about every facet of this period of Ptah, disorder, chaos. Analyzes ecology, analyzes economy, analyzes nations, analyzes kings and queens, analyzes poor working class and how we are made to hate one another. But that's a glorious now. Moses is glorious. But that work of the New Testament, which is the Christ work, is more glorious. Because the Christ now takes the analysis of Moses, Ptah, and goes to work and brings order out of chaos. Peace and tranquility out of chaos. Do you understand what we're saying, sisters and brothers? Verse 12. Let me see. Verse 11. No, verse 12 we want to go to. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And that has to do with bold speech of truth and reality. We are not afraid to speak this truth. We're not afraid to stand up for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. We are bold in our teaching against the modern day Roman Empire. We are bold in our teaching and uplifting the oppressed. Verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. All symbolism, the African Hebrew temple, this is symbolism of the African Hebrew temple working on dialectical materialism, working on the polarity of opposites. See, remember Hur and Harhet? Remember Nun and Nonet? Remember Cuck and Coquette? Remember Amun and Amonet? This is masculine finding fulfillment in the opposite, which is the feminine. No birth until the sacred divine masculine unites with the dialectical polar opposite, sacred divine feminine, and gives birth to fulfillment. Look at opposites this way as well. Dry and water. Good and bad, up and down, in and out. Oppression and freedom. We can take this lesson all over and see opposites. So we study the opposite. And in studying the opposite, we incorporate the opposite, the knowledge and wisdom from studying the opposite within ourselves to find fulfillment in freedom, justice, and equality. So Moses, with the veil over his face, is giving us a picture of the African Hebrew temple and the dialectical materialism teaching of opposites and the fulfillment of opposites and the sacred divine masculine being fulfilled in that opposite, which is the sacred and divine feminine, and how the high priest would go behind the veil. Remember that, sisters and brothers, that the high priest would go behind the veil, and the veil would separate the high priest, first entering the holies. The veil would separate the holies from the Holy of Holies. The holies represents the masculine. The high priest represents the masculine. The veil represents the feminine. And the mercy seat. The mercy seat is the feminine. See, this Hebrew temple is the image and likeness of the attributes and characteristics of the Almighty. This African Hebrew temple had images of the Sephardim, the images of, what's that word? The seraphim, Saraphim, or the ancient Kemet said, Horem Aket, the lion with wings all over. And the mercy seat was in between two cherubims. And cherubims, human beings with wings, angels with wings, facing the mercy seat. And on the mercy seat, you were able to gain atonement and life and forgiveness. And that mercy seat represented the Almighty, Father and Mother Yahuwah. But the mercy seat itself was feminine. That word mercy seat in the African Hebrew is feminine. And you had gold, and you had silver, and you had brass. And these words, silver and brass, leads us into divination and augury and reading of omens and all of those words associated with divination. The African Hebrews used the African Hebrew temple, masculine, feminine polarity, as a divining tool for righteousness. The wicked use this power for wickedness. The righteous use it for righteousness. Let's take this next break. See you on the other side of the break.